Did you know we've moved?
Movement! I like to move it, move it.
Our new home at TrendingTopicsNetwork.com, bringing you new content like Fight Show Live and the Spanish Announce Table, and the same shows that you come to enjoy like Old School at the Movies, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Real News. Make sure you check us out every week, TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 64 for December 5th, 2013. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network. Check out some great shows like The Spanish Announce Table, The Real News, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School. Before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com. You can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmovies, D-O-T-N-E-T. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. Start with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
How was it?
We've got Kebbo Trek.
Yo-yo.
And we've got Carp.
Beer good.
All right, let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Start off with some very sad news. Paul Walker dead. Fast and the Furious actor dies in a car crash. First banner found for Amazing Spider-Man 2 shows three villains. Wolf of Wall Street cuts to 2 hours and 59 minutes to avoid an NC-17 rating. Keith Richards back as Captain Jack's dad in Pirates of the Caribbean 5. We've got a first trailer for Nolan's sci-fi Interstellar that's going to be playing before The Hobbit. And we got a Netflix 2013 Thanksgiving feast of movies for you to enjoy for the American audience. And we end our news stories this week with Jurassic World will take place 22 years after Jurassic Park. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
Thanksgiving was last week, but let's go with that first story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's the obvious topic on everybody's mind. Paul Walker dead. Fast and the Furious actor dies in a car crash. Now, actor Paul Walker died in a car crash in Santa Clara, California on Saturday. His rep has confirmed he was 40 years old. This was a statement released by his publicist. It is with a truly heavy heart that we must confirm that Paul Walker passed away today in a tragic car accident while attending a charity event for his organization, Reach Out Worldwide. He was a passenger in a friend's car in which both lost their lives. We appreciate your patience as we too are stunned and saddened beyond belief by this news. Thank you for keeping his family and friends in your prayers during this very difficult time. We will do our best to keep you apprised on where to send condolences. Hashtag Team PW. Very, very sad news, Heavy. You know, I mean, he wasn't my favorite actor, but definitely was a charismatic action actor. Very good at what he did. He didn't do much beyond that, but he did very good in that Fast and Furious kind of role. One other thing, you know, I hate to sidetrack on his death, but what are they going to do with this franchise now? Have they already filmed the movie? How would you go about dealing with this as a producer? Let's get your thoughts on this, Heavy.
I think this will be something that could possibly be like the Dark Knight Rises Dark Knight. And what was it? The last Heath Ledger movie where they could put actors in it. No, the other one.
That Wonder Emporium one or something, wasn't it?
After that. Thank you. So somewhere along the lines of that, to where they get people to film, but I've actually never seen any of his movies, so I can't comment on that stuff, but I think we could possibly see that if they can finish the movie.
I mean, I'm just curious how they would go about. I know there was a similar issue, I believe, with Brandon Lee and the Crow movie, where they had to kind of shoot with a stunt double or something, if I remember correctly, but I don't know how much of the newest movie was filmed with him. Would they write him out? Or let's throw this to the panel. How would you guys deal with this?
Well, from what I was reading is there was like this week they were going to be filming major parts with his character, which is what kind of screws everything up. I think they're going to have to do almost a complete rewrite of what they've got right now. That's the only thing. So they'll either have to push back the release date or something else, but I mean, the only way you can really do this now is to kill off the character, unfortunately, because like for the Crow mythology, the Crow mythos, it was a different actor each Crow, whereas, you know, it's always been Paul Walker as this main guy, Brian O'Connor, I think. Like, I can't see them casting somebody new unless they do some sort of bullshit where, oh, you need plastic surgery because blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I can't see them casting anybody else, and I think fans would take it as an insult if they did, so I think the best thing would be to do a rewrite, write him out of the script, just, you know, write how he was killed by, I don't know, Jason Statham or something. So, that in my opinion, that's how I would deal with it. Kev, let's get your thoughts on this loss.
Sad news. It's always unfortunate when that happens, and I'm pretty much in the same boat as Karp, where I think they should rewrite the movie and do something with him off screen. It doesn't even have to be where he's killed off screen, but have him go somewhere or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, our thoughts and prayers go out to the family of Paul Walker. Nobody likes to hear this news. And, yeah, Kev, let's throw this to you. Let's get your news story for this week.
I'm going to go with Jurassic World.
Colin Trevorrow isn't a man who opens his mouth and gives away too much information. In fact, last year he was so vague about his upcoming job involving a major franchise that it led to Star Wars fans convincing themselves he'd been hired to helm Episode 7. In actuality, he was hired to helm the upcoming Jurassic World. In keeping with his personality, he's been tight-lipped about the plot specifics, but he did take to Twitter earlier this week to clear up some misconceptions. Contrary to what you may have heard, Jurassic World will not be a reboot, at least not as you may think of the term. Instead, it will begin 2+ decades after those raptors ate Muldoon. Here's a look at the actual tweet in question. So, Carl Baines asks on Twitter, at Colin Trevorrow, "Mr. Trevorrow, every time I read something, it just says JW is a reboot. Please tell us that it is not a reboot. I'm going bonkers." And he answered, "Reboot is a strong word. This is a new sci-fi terror adventure set 22 years after the horrific events of Jurassic Park." So, Kev, let's get your thoughts on this. Would this be the right way to reintroduce the franchise to fans? It has been a couple of years. And do you think this franchise still has some legs to it?
I think it is the right way to reintroduce it. I mean, like the article says, it's been 22 years since the original. So not going with a straight reboot is, I think it's smart because you're probably going to get, you know, bring some of the older fans. You'll have maybe some very loose connections to the original, but still be able to tell a completely new story and not have it just be a retread, with some little twists of the original. So I think having it be a very loose sequel where we're probably going to see a completely new cast of characters is the way to go. Will it do well? I think it'll do okay. Part of the magic of the original movie was just like the awe at seeing the dinosaurs and seeing the special effects and things like that. Whereas with today's filmmaking, I think some of that awe is not going to be there anymore because we've seen it in, obviously, Jurassic Park, but we've seen it in countless other movies since then. So while it will be successful, I don't think it'll reach the levels that the first one did.
What do you guys think about the casting of Idris Elba and Josh Brolin? They're rumored to be in talks to be in this movie. What do you guys think about that?
I'm good with it. I like those two actors a lot, especially with Josh Brolin more recently. I did want to see Old Boy, the remake with him, and Idris Elba I've been a fan of since The Wire. So,
Kebo, what do you think about that?
I'm good with it. I think especially they'll, you know, have maybe, although, I mean, the original movies were pretty serious, but I think it'll be a little darker with these actors, and I think that's the way to go for the movies. But not, hopefully they don't make it into, like, a flat-out kind of horror movie. I'd like to see some darkness, and with those actors, I think it would work like that.
All right, Carp, let's throw this to you, man. Let's get your news story for this week.
Well, the two I was going to talk about have been taken, so I guess we'll speak of Wolf of Wall Street being cut down to 2 hours and 59 minutes.
You haven't heard by now, Martin Scorsese's delayed Christmas release of Wolf of Wall Street is clocked in with a running time of 2 hours, 59 minutes, under the 2 hours and 53 minutes you don't count the credits, of course, making it his longest film yet by 1 minute, Casino is 2 hours and 58 minutes. In addition to confirming the running time, THR also has word on just what was cut from the film to reach that goal, and also just happened to save the film from getting an NC-17 rating. The film originally had much more nudity and explicit sex, but some of that has been cut to secure an R rating, though we're not sure what specifically. Obviously, Paramount Pictures was never going to release it under an NC-17 version. The article's bummed that they'll likely never see this original cut that Scorsese put together. Actually, I disagree. Maybe I would think they would throw that on DVD, you know? Anyways, and since the director has never released it... Oh, okay. That's my question.
It's Scorsese. Yeah. He doesn't release director's cuts because he's an arsehole for some reason.
Yeah, that would make... I don't know. It's annoying. So, Carb, let's get your thoughts on this, man. You know, like, I'm really excited to see this movie, especially the fact that, my goodness, it's almost a NC-17 rating. Like, what's going on in this movie that it's that, you know, explicit? Well,
apparently this guy's life was that over the top that an NC-17 would have warranted it. Like, from what I'm reading, his life was pretty much close to a coked-out porno half the time while making millions of dollars by screwing people on penny stocks.
I mean, this is going to be very, very interesting. I remember you had mentioned, you know, and I was even kind of on the fence, but now from all the stuff I'm hearing about this, it just really seems like, I guess, a pain and gain version, but, you know, the Wall Street version of that. And I was a big fan of that. So I really am very happy that this is going to be released.
My only issue is like a close to 3-hour movie. I mean, I think it was Hitchcock who said, a movie should be made so as long as the human bladder can withhold urine or something like that. So that's why your average action flick and even most dramas are maybe an hour 45 average at most. These 3-hour movies.
Yeah, have you guys ever heard of runpee.com?
No.
Yeah, you've mentioned it to me.
Yeah, it's a site where it'll tell you parts in the
movie. It's also an app.
What's that? Yeah, it's an app.
It's also an app. Yeah. Yeah, that's also great to figure out if there's a scene at the end of the movie, which I love.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah. But it's, you know, the main reason, I guess, for pregnant women or for people like Kebbo Trek with 4-year-old bladders who, you know, need to often urinate. So you figure, okay, well, what's the best time to go during the movie? And it actually tells you, okay, well, when this happens, it's not really eventful, so you can go during that time. So that's a pretty cool idea.
If I can come in with a question.
Yeah.
Concerning the NC-17 rating, what do you guys think about, like, kind of the sex versus violence, because you're pretty much allowed to show anything in terms of violence, yet whenever there's a bit of kind of nudity and sex, it almost, like, always goes to that NC-17. So do you think there's kind of a double standard there?
I think it could be when you mix the two, when you mix sex and violence, that's when people start to get offended very easily.
I mean, with the States, like, you know, they were joking around Eurotrip how it was founded by a bunch of prudes, but from what I see, you know, there's heads getting blown off and shit. There's more gun violence in a PG-13 movie now than ever has been.
Exactly.
But here in Quebec, I don't know, but most of the rest of Canada too, you know, nudity is generally an okay thing. It's just explicit sex acts. They add the rating a little higher. Whereas in the States, you know, it could be two gun style super violence, but as soon as you show a boob, it's PG-16. So...
I guess it could definitely be the American audience, and I would agree with Carp. It could be the American audience that just is, I guess, a little sensitized to the sexual stuff. Actually, I'm very curious to get Heavy's opinion on this, since he is American.
We have kind of become a little bit more stricter nation and everything since, you know, like nipple bowl and everything and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it is what it is, and I think... No matter what the movie, as long as it's not NC-17, because NC-17 is just that god-awful rating that nobody wants Scarface cut out a lot from their movie to make sure it didn't get the NC-17 rating. But I think as long as it's not that, people are going to go see it no matter what. I mean, you're just not going to have maybe certain audience getting in there as easily, but even some movie theaters don't even care.
Yeah, it's a good point. But yeah, the NC-17 would definitely limit the amount of box office that it can get. From what I remember Kebbo Trek had mentioned, I think highest grossing NC-17 movie wasn't it Showgirls or something?
Yeah, $20 million. Showgirls.
Yeah. So yeah, there's no way they're going to do it. So it makes sense they're going to do it. And I do agree 100%. There is a lot of hypocrisy when it comes to sex and violence, especially on the American side. All right, we haven't seen anything this week, so we're going to throw it straight to the weekend box office as Kebbo Trek breaks down the numbers for us. All right, so Kev, let's throw this to you. What were the results for last weekend's box office?
Well, no surprise at all. Coming in first place is The Hunger Games: Catching Fire, adding $74 million, giving it a very robust $296 million after 2 weeks.
Significant drop off, though.
To be expected with such a high opening weekend, so I don't think the studio is going to be concerned about that at all. Coming in at second place, we have Frozen with a pretty solid, I have to say, $67 million, giving it $93 million after just 4 days. So I think the studio will be really happy with
actually,
that.
You're kind of wrong about that. It released a week earlier in limited, and limited, it still pulled in $26 million.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, Shane, that's...
Look at the theater count average. It went up 2,400%.
But it made that much in limited?
Yeah.
Oh, shows for what I know for not doing my research.
Yeah, learn what you're doing.
Hey, man.
Learn things, man.
Busy week. Busy week.
Read books.
I'm totally not having you do my taxes this year.
Hey. All right, coming in third is Thor 2, The Dark World, with $11 million, giving it about $186.7 million. Figure it'll probably end with about $205 to $210, which I think the studio will be happy with. Somehow, The Best Man Holiday pulled in another $8 million, giving it $63
million. It has legs. This movie has legs, man.
It does, and on a $17 million budget, I mean, obviously this movie's going to make nothing internationally, but you figure even with prints and advertising, it's going to show a profit even before it hits the home market, and when that can happen for a studio, you're pretty happy with it. Coming in fifth place is Homefront with $7 million, giving it about a little under $10 million in total. It's pretty par for the course, I'd say, and I think everyone
would agree. Internationally, though.
Yeah, he does. I mean, his movies, they're consistent. You're not going to get, you know, $100 million opening, but his movies usually don't cost a lot, and they perform well. They do good on the home market. So, you know, in the end, I think the studio will be pretty happy with what it gets. Coming in sixth place, adding $6.8 million, is Delivery Man, something I know we all really wanted to see, giving it a total of $19 million. You know, at first I'm like, okay, this is doing terrible, but on a $26 million budget, I think, it might not make its money, but it's not going to lose a lot of money. So I think the studio will be at least okay with that. Coming in at seven is The Book Thief, something I've never even heard of. Maybe someone can elaborate on that.
Book Thief is like a World War II movie about a guy who is stealing literature so the Nazis can burn it.
Coming in seventh place is The Book Thief, adding $4.8 million, giving it a total of $7.8 million, 698% increase. Obviously, it's mostly just adding the theaters. Coming in at 8th place is, okay, am I going to pronounce this right? Philomena, with $3.6 million, getting an increase of 2,762%, giving it a total of 4.6. Coming in at 9th is the instant classic Black Nativity. With $3.7 million. Who had that, by the way?
I had it.
Oh.
Combined, my movies did not do as good as Thor's like fourth week out.
Giving it a $4.8 million total on a $17 million budget. Again, this movie's going to have no foreign market, so we're probably going to get a loss in that. And rounding out the top 10 is Las Vegas, adding $2.6 million, giving it a total of $59 million.
Should we mention the epic bomb that was the Old Boy release?
Holy shit, yeah. Wow. That's, Kev, look at those numbers, man.
Ooh, wow, and that's probably going to have absolute, again, no foreign, so...
$30 million budget, $800,000 gross.
Yeah,
so,
and...
Now, I got a question for everybody. Is Spike Lee still successful? Because this is a Spike Lee joint.
Yeah, but he's got to learn how to market better, man. That's pathetic. I didn't even really know about this movie.
They shouldn't have redone Old Boy. It was not even 10 years old. And the Korean version was so messed up, I don't understand why they even redid it for an American audience when a lot of the American audience have seen this in the last decade.
Was this a Kickstarter?
No.
No?
No.
But the thing that surprises me is it's pretty big budgeted for a Spike Lee movie. Like, his movies, they'll do okay. Like, you know, they're not going to be $100 million makers, but they have a low enough budget where, you know, they will end up in profit at the end, especially because, again, his movies don't really do well internationally. But yeah, that's, you're probably looking at, what, maybe $2 million total, $2.5 million? Yeah.
Yeah. All right, on that note, let's throw this to the upcoming movies this week. Very few movies. There's actually one with a wide release. I'm a little surprised. Kempo Chuck, why do you think that is? Because there doesn't seem to be a lot of competition. You know, you've got third week of Hunger Games, but it would seem to me like you would want to release a couple more movies because it is a dead week.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not, like, even if it's some kind of middle-of-the-road $20 million budget movie, like, this would be the perfect time to release it, because generally, you know, mid-November until January, like the beginning of January, is where a lot of blockbusters are released, usually every week. So I'm surprised no studio would take a chance and even kind of release something, you know, make it a $20, $30 million movie. It doesn't have to be one of their, you know, big tentpole kind of things. But, you know, by now, Hunger Games, it'll be in its third week. So there should be a market for some kind of movie to have a bit of success here. It's like it's almost a weekend in February. Yes. Or a weekend in September, you know, where there's nothing really coming out. And I'm surprised that no studio would at least put something, because this is a pretty lucrative period.
Yeah, so we do have one wide release. This is from Christian Bale. It's called Out of the Furnace. We're going to play the trailer and get your thoughts when we get back.
Russell, you work too much.
Gotta bring home the bacon to fatten you up.
How much you loan you?
$1,500.
I ain't got that kind of cash lying around to bail you out.
Bro, you want to get a drink later?
Yeah.
And a liquid dinner?
You want another?
No, Rodney was supposed to meet me here half hour ago.
Now, why the hell you want to fire?
I just need the money.
You're going to be a good boy and take a dive. I'm not going to have to teach you a lesson.
Rodney!
They haven't been able to find your brother. The people up in those hills have their own breed of justice, and it does not include us.
Mr. Grout is the worst. He haunts those mountains.
For me, you don't want to go there.
We're going to get one shot at this guy. You ready for this?
Ronnie Baze's brother.
I ain't leaving without him.
Forgive me my sins, O Lord. Forgive me my sins. Forget and forgive what we have been.
You're a good kid with a good heart.
Hey, Dad.
Get up.
You got 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Out of the Furnace, we have a really big cast for this one. Of course, the greatest actor ever. Christian Bale, Woody Harrelson, Casey Affleck, Forrest Whitaker playing a cop. Ooh, big surprise there. William Dafoe, Zoe Saldana, Sam Shepard. Big cast, big cast. Kempo Trek, let's throw this to you first, man. Yeah or nay?
Nay for me.
Heavy set? Yeah or nay?
Nay.
Carp, yay or nay?
It's actually a yay for me, despite it maybe looking like Redneck Batman.
it's true.
They were playing one of my most favorite Pearl Jam songs during the trailer ever. So, like, this might be a movie where the soundtrack, like, sells it for me, if this is part of it. The guy who did this also wrote Crazy Hearts, pretty good movie from what I understand. Unfortunately, I haven't seen it, but I've heard good things about Crazy Hearts. And Woody Harrelson's an awesome actor no matter what he does.
Would you be interested in checking this out?
Sure. I'm generally free most of this weekend.
All right, cool. Yeah, might check it. I haven't seen the movie in a couple weeks either, so.
For a guy who runs a movie podcast, you're slacking on the wide.
Hey, dude, I'm watching DVDs, though. I've been catching up on my DVDs. I watched The Internship, which was a complete waste of time. It is what you saw in the trailer, pretty much. A cheesy Vince Vaughn, Owen Wilson movie, and it wasn't even that funny. One I really did like, was the one you had mentioned with Gyllenhaal.
End of Watch.
Love that movie.
Yeah, it was a great movie.
Oh, it's fucking great, that movie. I definitely recommend you guys check that out, either on Netflix. If it's not on Netflix, pay the digital download. It is worth the $3. It's very, very good. All right, let's check out the DVD releases for this week.
DVD release.
Our buddy Will does DVDs, is not here this week, so I'll be taking over. We've got the epic piece of shit, the Twilight ripoff, Mortal Instruments City of Bones. So if you'd like to torture yourself for 2 hours, I recommend you check that out. If you're not finished torturing yourself and you'd like to turn to bulimic, check out The Smurfs 2 as well. But one movie that is interesting that I'm probably going to check out because I did not see it in the theaters was The Wolverine. Who checked out Wolverine?
I have.
What were your thoughts of the second one?
Oh, I liked it. It was pretty good. My only issue is it's on a lighter PG-13 side. So, like, he's slashing people up, but you don't see, like, limbs getting sliced off or people bleeding out, which you should because it's Wolverine and he's a violent freaking mutant. But generally, all in all, it was pretty good.
Awesome. All right, so check that out. Let's check out the one. Go ahead.
You're missing one, man. You're missing two. There's All the Boys Love Mandy Lane, which is supposed to be a horror flick.
Okay.
Which actually came out like 2 years ago. I don't know why it's being re-released. But Drinking Buddies. It's a rom-com about two friends who run a brewery and how their drinking affects their relationships. And they're always like flirting with each other and stuff, which I digitally downloaded to check out.
Oh, and how'd you find it?
I haven't watched it yet. That's on my backlog on my tablet of movies I was supposed to watch on my way down to Washington and just slept in the car instead.
Oh, okay. All right, let's check out The Wonderful World of Netflix.
This week in Netflix.
Not a huge week on movies here. I'm not seeing anything of interest. Correct me if I'm wrong. We have some Farscape stuff if you're into sci-fi, but
That's actually an excellent show.
Okay.
If you like sci-fi, you should definitely check it out because they actually, one of the things that you don't see too, oh, I won't get into this too long, but one of the things you don't see too often in sci-fi TV shows are aliens that actually look alien. I mean, usually you have the Star Trek way where, you know, they'll have a forehead ridge or something like this. And in Farscape, you actually see aliens being aliens. So it's a really good series.
All right, cool. On the Canadian side, I've got a couple of good ones. We've got Fast Five, which is, for Netflix, that's pretty big. Suits as well. And if you guys are into Kevin Smith, I really recommend you check out Red State. This was released in 2011. It's a Kevin Smith horror movie. So take that as you will, but it's not his typical genre. You know, it's not him just people sitting there talking for 2 hours. It's really different, and I really, really recommend you guys check that out. So that's Netflix for this week. Let's throw this to Carp and talk about The Bargain Bin.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Carp, what do you got on The Bargain Bin for this week?
This week is Death Race 3 Inferno.
Death Race 3?
3 Inferno.
Oh, jeez. Jason Statham left after the first one, correct?
Okay. So basically, Death Race was Jason Statham, and then Death Race 2 was actually a prequel to the first Death Race, and then Death Race 3 is the sequel to the prequel.
Oh, jeez.
Basically, quick synopsis.
They race in a car, people die.
Repenting convict Carl Lucas, a.k.a. Frankenstein, is a legendary driver in the brutal prison blood sport known as Death Race, only one victory away from winning his freedom. Lucas is plunged into his most vicious competition yet, the first ever desert death race. Through South Africa's infernal Kalahari Desert, Lucas is pitted against ruthless adversaries and powerful forces at work behind the scenes to ensure his defeat. Also starring Danny Trejo, who's in everything, and Vin Rames. There's lots of good action. The car action was really well done. There was a couple of really bad goofs, which are very, very obvious. Some very super good looking, some very attractive female co-pilots. They actually have a scene where there's 14 girls and 4 of them have to die and the remaining 10 become the drivers. That actual action scene, despite there being some shaky cam, was actually really well done with some more than decent practical effects.
Was this straight to DVD?
It was straight to DVD.
What was the budget on this?
I have no idea.
I'm interested. Kebo, look that up while he's doing the review.
But yeah, I liked it quite a bit. It was fun. It closes out the mythos of Death Race to basically where the part of, at the beginning of Death Race 1, where Jason Statham's replacing the Frankenstein who died. It kind of closes the circle on that. But nothing will still ever beat the original Death Race 2000, starring David Carradine and a very young Sylvester Stallone.
I guess it went the route of Universal Soldier with like 15 sequels.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, they left it open so there can be sequels, but at the same time, like, it was fun. The main antagonist was played by Doug Ray Scott. He was the antagonist in the second Mission Impossible.
Okay.
And the chick who's with Frankenstein's character, Tanita Phoenix, she is gorgeous, like actually beautiful. And it helps that she shows some skin.
Budget is 6.5.
Oh, that's all right.
For DVD movie, more than it's money back.
That's not bad.
It's a lot of practical effects. Like, a guy gets blown up, and you can tell it's like the meat chunk parts, not the CGI craps.
I guess that's cheaper to film, right?
Yes. Okay. And it looks better, in my opinion. So.
Oh, there you go. Blowing up some meat for Carps Entertainment. Let's get into the movie draft 2013.
Hello. Good morning. Let's go. Let's go. Hello.
So, Carp, I had two movies out this week, which did the pretty much sweet fuck all. Let's get a review of what happened.
The lead is still me. I have 296 million.
Yeah.
Second place would be Kembo because of Frozen's second week with a total of 93.9 million. Third place would be Mr. Heavyset, thanks to the surprising Best Man Holiday. He's got 82.4 million. Mr. Old School will be in fourth with 14.5 million. And bottom me at the barrel is Will's epic failure of Old Boy with a total of 1.2 million.
I'm really hoping on a strong second week for Black Nativity.
Yeah. So for this week, we have Out of the Furnace coming out, which, who's got that? Out of the Furnace would be Will. And then, well, limited release, but I'm only going to count when it goes expansion, but limited release is Inside Llewelyn Davis, which is...
You should totally count it, dude. You come on. Well, actually, yeah, it's for you. Yeah, don't count it.
And that'll be all this week. Everything else will be coming up later on. I mean, there's that huge Christmas weekend with five movies, but next week is Hobbit and Tyler Perry.
Yeah.
Medea's Christmas. I can actually see it staying close with the hot... No, I can't. And then the week after that is Anchorman and Walking with Dinosaurs, which are going to be pretty big.
So. Yeah, awesome. Awesome. Yeah, quick show this week. And, well, for obvious reasons, there's not a lot going on. Well, except for, of course, the tragic news on Paul Walker. But, yeah. Carp, let's throw this to you. Let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Well, I'd like to thank everyone who donated and helped me out with my personal November cause.
What'd you get to?
I got 560 in the end, which isn't awesome, bad for my own. I did a lot of what are called half and halves at work, and people are more than willing to play that, so that's always good.
That's great.
I expect more next year, especially out of our panelists who didn't donate to me, except Mr. Old School, who's quite generous.
Hey, people, forget, fucking, come
people
on.
People like Kevbo, it's a tax write-off, and I know your taxes. And then StableWars.com, we are starting a new season of WWE Stable Wars. Submissions for your stables will be due Monday before Raw. And there will also be the TLC pay-per-view going up shortly.
And if you win, Carps has a grand prize of $50 cash that he's going to send you.
I do not. No. However, the owner of the site, Mr. Watsuki, has quite the DVD collection, which he's willing to part with any of those DVDs should you win a season.
Awesome. That's great. So check that out, StableWars.com. Play against Mr. Old School, Killer Carpedium, and Fritz Sauce. Heavy Set, let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Yeah, it's kind of same old, still www.kfabesports.com. I think NFL Easy Picks is kind of going to be taking a little bit of a break with certain things because obviously me being on the road and whatnot. But How Injury Report just did an episode recently with Gregory Iron and Aaron Bauer of AIW. And this will be the first time I get to announce it. We're actually adding another show outside of me and guy from the WIR Heavy Hitters, bringing his baseball podcast to the network, so that's something to look forward to, and that's pretty much it.
All right, so check that out, kfabesports.com. Let's get Kev's, not much, check out Resident Evil. But final thoughts before we end this week? Go ahead, Kev.
In the immortal words of a mutual friend, I got nothing.
All right, so for I Got Nothing, Kebbo Trek, Carp, Heavy Set, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.